C.S. Lewis was once asked, what's the difference between Christianity and all other world religions? And Lewis said, that's easy. The difference is grace, the grace of God through Jesus. And John picks up the theme of grace here when he's talking about Christ coming into the world to be our Savior. Mentions grace four times if you look at certain versions. He was full of grace and truth, Jesus our Savior. The law was given through Moses. That's a big plus. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's a bigger plus. From His fullness we have received grace upon grace, or as the NIV says, one blessing after another. So, for the Apostle John, he notes that Jesus' glory was seen in His graciousness of giving us what we did not deserve. He gave us Himself, gave us life everlasting, gave us the gift of heaven. And I think verse 16, one of the key verses highlighting grace, from Jesus' fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And in my life as a Christian, I would have to say that probably my second favorite theme in the Bible, if you're allowed to have favorite themes, I love the theme of the person of Christ, number one, by far, and then the grace of God, I think, is what we need to have in our lives if we're going to grow as Christians, as Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think we do pretty good with the knowledge part, growing in knowledge a lot. That's a good thing. More scholars in regards to knowledge than scholars in regards to grace or the practice of grace as God has impacted our lives. And for myself, it probably is a result of my conversion and then trying to grow with the Lord through His kindness. When I heard about the grace of God and salvation being a gift, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was, I still remember sitting in that, happened to be, I heard the message on television, but some of these guys came and spoke about grace to me in my college room. I still remember what the room looked like. I was sitting on the bed, college room doesn't have much room. But and these guys sharing about the grace of God, and I'm just totally amazed by that as a gift. And so, so thankful for the grace of God. In verse 16, the Amplified Bible puts the message this way. From His fullness we've received gift upon gift, favor upon favor, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. That's our experience. Message Bible, a little more down to earth. We live off His gracious bounty, gift after gift after gift. And Charles Spurgeon, he loved to preach about the grace of God. In devotionally in regards to this passage, he said, God gives us grace to call us. In other words, He's the one to initiate that relationship. Grace to call. He gives us grace to pardon. So we have the forgiveness of sins. He gives us grace to preserve. Keeps us in the following of the Lord. And gives us grace to perfect us. We'll get to heaven, sure, by the grace of God. And God delivers, he said, grace delivers a man from sinning. Often we don't think of grace that way, but that's certainly the power of God and His Holy Spirit. Grace delivers us from sinning. Thieves are made honest. Drunkards are made sober. Liars are made truthful. Lazy are made zealous. Hateful are made more loving. Bored are made excited. Children of hell are made children of God. All the big changes that come from Jesus and the gift of Him. And so God will save us and be victorious in our lives because of His grace. The old acrostic of the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense comes our way to us. So the gospel is full of grace because Jesus is full of grace. That's what the Bible says, full of grace and truth. Even when Jesus was born, Gabriel came to Mary and mentions the grace of God twice. He says, God's favor is with you. Or, Mary, you are full of grace, something that you don't have, God has brought. And the word favor in the old Greek language is the same word for grace. So some believers repeat that scripture, Hail Mary, full of grace. The gift of salvation is upon you. So the thought of Mary's life being changed, everybody else's life being changed. And just a word, you can't get away from the sports illustrations, you know. Changed the life of the NFL forever. From now on, since then, every pass that was an impossible pass that somebody would throw would be called what? A Hail Mary pass. In other words, only God is going to be able to pull this off. And this was true about the incarnation. Okay. I like these one-sentence pictures of God's grace. Grace, Jesus given to the sinner. Grace, anything outside of the lake of fire. So you think the whole world at this point, still living, still have a chance for salvation. The grace of God. And then grace, heaven given to the hell-deserving. There were great believers. Martin Luther said he needed to preach the gospel of grace to his soul every day because he needed God to save him every day. That's strength for the believer. My son who goes to a Christian college went through a little challenge from the college president. And things went through the, not personally, but with the whole student body. And the student newspaper responded to what the president said to the students. The president was telling the students to pay more attention in chapel and don't do your texting and don't do your, you know, cell phones and whatever else you do with those little things. And by the way, I was at a restaurant the other day and a nice young couple came into the restaurant and they were sitting side by side and I'm just, you know, enjoying watching them as I'm with my family and the dear gal obviously is there and glad to be there and she's, you know, trying to keep the conversation going. And the guy is like this. Okay. So finally she rolled her eyes, got up, and went to the bathroom. So just a little word of, amen. Just a little instruction on the where our hearts are at toward the people in our lives. But with the grace of God making an impact on students, interesting, when the president was pretty much president of the college, yelling at the students for not being in worship, they responded back in the school newspaper, a surprising message. They said, we love to come to chapel when we come to chapel, and it's really about Jesus and salvation. That's when we throw our hearts into it. When we come to chapel and you tell us about study habits, and you tell us about obeying our parents, and you tell us about the importance of going to fellowship, and you tell us about dress code, then we are going to get bored. Give us Christ and what He has done for us, and we will be so thankful, and our lives will be continued to be changed. And I think that's a good instruction for us as a fellowship or any church, really. Because often the church cries out for Jesus and salvation. Oh, we don't have time for that. You know, tell us about dress code. Tell us about something other than that. And yet the young heart says, give Christ. Because there's a sense of knowing health there. ESV version of the Bible says about this passage, from Jesus' fullness we have all received grace upon grace. We're saved by grace, we live by grace, and we get to heaven by the grace of God, the gift of Jesus in our lives. I think we as Christians make a mistake by associating grace only with the initial point of salvation. Grace is for the lost guy. Works is for us. Okay. And when we do that, we often come to God and turn that fellowship into a religion. tell me how to be good. God, just tell me how to be good. That's why I come to you. And tell me when I'm bad. Tell me when I'm bad. Well, Jesus didn't come to give you the message how to be good or how to be bad. He came to give the message that salvation was in Him. And so to know that brings life to us. Where do you think the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses came from? They came because they looked at the grace of God and they said, we don't need that. We don't want that. And they, of course, went totally in the wrong direction. But the grace of God in our lives, Christ's initiative. Matthew Henry said, grace is the goodwill of God toward us in Christ. It's the salvation work of God for us at the cross. And it's the good works of God in us by the Holy Spirit. And we can see the grace of God being critical, not just in salvation, but for every day. For example, in the life of John Newton, he wrote the song Amazing Grace. First verse about salvation. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord, for that still sounds sweet in our soul. And then grace to get through trials. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It's only because of God and His gift that we're able to get through what we're trying to get through. And then grace to get to heaven. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And so all believers say, thank you, Lord, for the truth of Jesus, for the grace of Jesus. And we say, along with the Apostle Paul, an amen when he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So we give God credit for His works in us. A couple challenges of grace that are on the screen there. God's grace is stronger than God's law. Now, this is not to set up a competition, although believers, once they heard about the grace of God in the Bible, they started to set up the competition. In Galatians, they did that, in Colossians. But God's grace is stronger than God's law. In fact, God's law is really a gift from Him. The law does provide life to me if my obedience perfect be. That's an old saying. The law does provide life to me if my obedience perfect be. And since we fall far, far short of that, we're not going to look to the law for life. We're going to look to the law to recognize our need for life. And so the law is holy, good, and can't save us. Grace is holy and good and can save us. The law is given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. A lot of times we look at the grace of God and we say, oh, if we talk about the grace of God, it's just going to make people apathetic and disobedient. Paul dealt with that and he said, may it never be. Because grace teaches us that we're dead to ourselves. Now we have a new life to God, with God. And grace is actually tougher than law in changing our life toward obedience. It's tougher than law, stronger than law. Okay, another example of grace would be, did you ever look for what you already had? In down-to-earth illustrations, I wonder where my keys are. So I look in drawers, I look on desks, look on the floor, and I look in my pocket. Oh, I had it the whole time. There it was. How about this? Some of you in the summertime said, where's my sunglasses? They're right on your head. That's where they are. Okay, and then as Christians we say, I need holiness. Where am I going to get holiness? What do I have to do to attain this? And God says, look who I already gave you. I gave you my Holy Spirit. Are you looking for something that maybe you already have? How about love? Which one of us doesn't want to know love and feel love and have the ability to love? God says, well, I poured out my love into your heart. when you received Christ. So often we look for what we already have. And it shows we're looking away from God at that point and not giving credit to Him. How about significance? You're saying, I need to be significant. And if I had a good job and if I could accomplish some things, then I would be significant. Well, you're a child of God. Are you going to get any more significant than that? On Wednesday night, we talked about what would happen if Warren Buffett walked into our Bible study. Warren Buffett is, you know, a pretty successful person. What would we do? We'd probably say, here's the Bible, have a seat and, you know, turn to Philippians chapter 2. What are you going to do? Because he's a fellow sinner in need of the grace of God. His significance is just like yours. And it's not to put him down or to put us down. But it's to say that we often look for what we already have from what God has given us. How about power? If I can only be the mayor of North Huntington, you know, what things I would straighten out. But God says He gives us the power to be followers of His, to be witnesses of His. Can we find power in any other source? You think the President of the United States has more power to change his own life than you do? Change your life just because he has an office? God has given us Jesus, full of grace and truth. And the last challenge, we can't secure anything for ourselves beyond what Christ has already secured for us. He is all sufficient. And so to look at Jesus again and say, Lord, we find everything we need in you. And we find the love that changes us that we can express. We find the fruit of your Spirit, joy in our life, and patience and peace that we do need. And we do lack without you. And one preacher said this, how does grace change your life? It's a gift of Jesus himself. He just takes a part of Romans and runs with it. He says, grace begins with God's love for you. Then you grow to love God and hate sin. This is what grace does for you, the gift of Christ. His grace gives you a great affection for one another. And it's okay to work on that, you know. You might say, well, I'm not a very affectionate person. The extent of my affection would be if I looked across the pew and said, you know, God bless Joe. That's as much as I can handle. Well, good. Do that much. His grace gives you great affection for one another. And with maximum effort, you serve the Lord gladly. I think this is a call in our lives to be servants of God. Someone said, don't you want to be great in your life? Everybody wants to be great at something. Well, Jesus told us how to be great. He said, well, if you want to be great, you be the servant. And just be about helping other people. You always have your plate full, if that's the case. Grace teaches you to serve with great effort and gladness to Christ. Because you're thankful. Grace motivates to reach out to people in trouble with heart and hands. Grace helps you pray for those who oppose you. You enjoy the joy of others. And you shoulder the pain of the hurting. And you have no desire for prestige or position or office. Because you're glad to be a child of God. And you overpower the evil with good. And that's how grace touches a life. So this Christmas season might we be givers of what God has given us, His Son and the grace of God. Shared on Wednesday night with the children's group, you think of the happiest Christmases in your life. What were they in terms of exchange of gifts? You know, most of us are probably not going to say, it was when I got my first bicycle or it was when I got this fantastic tie or something like that. Most of us would say this. You know what the best Christmas I ever had was? When I gave this gift to a loved one that I had. I can still remember the first piece of clothing I got from my wife. You know, it was bright yellow. I thought, she's going to love this. And you just had great joy by giving to your loved one. So when God saw the lost world, he said, I'm going to express my great joy by giving my son. And then my own children, they'll be like this too, full of grace and truth. In closing, let's pray a simple prayer coming out of the passage here. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you're full of grace and truth. Be full of grace and truth in us. And help us treat others and ourselves like you have graced us. One blessing after another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.